Hey team, welcome back to another episode of the Student Paramedic Podcast. Hey team, welcome back to another episode of the Student Paramedic Podcast. My name's Alex, I'm your host today, and today I'm sitting down with Neil Noble. Now, Neil is with Australia EMS, and we've talked to his team in the past about their awesome trips overseas, but equally as well, their recruitment drives for places such as America and through companies such as PAFID. Now today we're going to talk about another recruitment drive for America and how you can set your sights on places other than Australia when you finish your degree, which is the bonus of having a degree and being able to travel the world nowadays. So thank you so much for jumping on, Neil. I'm really excited for this chat.
Happy to be here.
Now, I'd love for you just to give the audience a little bit of a background and insight into your experience and how you got into this, and then we'll jump into what we're here to talk about today.
Yeah, thanks, Alex. So we previously were Team Australia EMS, and we went around the world and used to compete in paramedic competitions. And we won a few, which made us a bit popular with the sponsors. And so we got to travel a lot more. And back in 2013, we got invited as a team to the Student Paramedics Australasia Conference. And they asked us to come and do a presentation. And whilst we were there giving our presentation afterwards, obviously a whole lot of students came down, and I was very surprised by one of their comments. And one of the students said to us, "Look, for a bunch of old dinosaurs, you seem to be really enjoying your job." And we found that quite strange. And I was like, "Oh, I'll take that as a compliment, I think. Let's go with a compliment." I said, "How's your experience being as a student?" And it wasn't what I expected. She said, "I had a terrible time. I got a placement. The paramedics don't really want us there. We're a hindrance. They consider us more work. Not all of them, but some of them. And we don't get treated really well as students, and we don't get a lot of placement. And it was really hard for her." And we went back as a team and sat down and started strategizing our next competition. And I said to the guys, "Look, this is my experience. This is what's happened." And there was a petition going around at the time that they asked us to sign called the Change Day Pledge, where you'd pledge to make a positive change in anything in the world. And that Student Paramedics Australasia asked us to sign this. And we agreed then, back in 2013, that we as a team were going to do everything within our power to make student life, paramedic student life in Australia, a lot better. So since then, every single year we'd present at the SPAR conference. And we just kept ramping it up each time. We'd add in advanced airway workshops. We'd bring pig's lungs in from Cairns, and Gary would bring something in from the Gold Coast. And it was just all about making the conference really exciting and a bit out there to what it was normally, when you'd get, you know, a lot of the research-based stuff, which is absolutely important. Like, we think that, you know, we wouldn't be anywhere without evidence-based practice and research. But for us, it was more the hands-on kind of thing. And then we also brought in the Furno Simulation Challenge, and we partnered with Furno Australia and got some simulation in there. And then we decided, you know what, let's take them to South Africa. We're going to go and do an international student tour. It was very handy because I'm from South Africa, and all the managers that were in their roles then were people I hired back when they were very junior. So it was very easy for us to ring them up and go, "Look, we'd like to bring 20 Aussies. Can you give them the best time in the world, show them all amazing things, treat them like it's like their royalty, and let them learn from the experience?" And the students loved it. They absolutely loved it, raved about it. We're still in contact with them today. And then Cole, who's had many, many more years in contact with the Americans, said, "We can replicate this in America." As typical America as it is, you know, we go to South Africa with 20 odd students. America, like, "Y'all can bring 100. No, we can't actually bring 100. I know you bigger and better at everything. But yeah, we did. And so we ended up doing concurrent tours to the US and to South Africa. And the Americans awarded us with an EMS 10 award a couple of years later for excellence in providing education to students. And so while they're on their tour, it's not all about Disneyland and at Universal Studios, they go to the trauma center, they go on ride-alongs, they go to clinical lectures, the whole lot. And then we chuck in, of course, Disneyland. They go to Vegas, San Diego, and Anaheim, and they have a whale of a time. And so, yeah, from that, when we realized we could see the situation growing where we've got an abundance of paramedics graduating in Australia, and we spoke to the Americans and they said, we're really short. That's sort of where the idea came from. It's like, well, we've seen a recruitment campaign happening with people going over to London. Would you guys be interested? And they said, if you can get Aussie paramedics over here, we would welcome them with open arms. We'll treat them well. And, you know, I've never been to any clinical placement in America with a student where they haven't come back singing the praises of the mentors that are with them. They absolutely, their whole culture is very welcoming and they love the Aussie students. In fact, one of our students went back for a wedding. They made such a good rapport with their mentor that they went back for a wedding. So it's growing really well. And I guess the next bit for us, which is every time we go on tour there, we get to meet with these American companies and go, all right, so we've got Australian graduates and they come out at a certain skill level. What are your paramedics like and how do we bridge the gap there? So to answer your question, that's how it came about. It started out with competitions. Then it went to student conferences and workshops. And now it's branched out into finding graduates jobs because it's ridiculous in Australia at the moment. Like, I don't know the exact figures, but I'm guesstimating about 5,000 people in the student pool at any one time. And these guys are graduating and they're just unable to get jobs. And they're not, it's not that they are terrible paramedics or terrible people. It's just so highly competitive. And I just worry that, you know, year on year that compounds and the universities are not slowing down. I remember seeing, I'd say in the last year and a half, where one of the universities advertised for 11 direct positions where they're expanding around the country. So there's no regard really for the employment of the paramedics afterwards. And obviously everyone wants to be a paramedic because state service pays so well. So the supply is not an issue, but it's all about now finding work for these guys and some experience so that they become world-class paramedics. Otherwise, they're going to be flipping burgers for 2 years, keeping applying and getting disappointed with not getting a job in the state service.
Yeah, absolutely. You bring up fantastic point in that sense. And yeah, it is really challenging, you know, having just gone through that whole process of trying to get a job in Australia and then, you know, coming over to the UK and taking that opportunity. It's a big deal, but I think having these recruitment programs in place that make the move a lot more seamless is really beneficial. And the fact that you're able to do that for a country such as the US, when I was speaking to someone recently who tried to go to the US, 10, 15 years ago, and they had to navigate that whole system of bridging that gap between their skills and trying to get the visas and the job without any of that support, and that seemed a lot more difficult. So it seems like now having these recruitment sort of processes in place, it makes it a lot more accessible, and I think it's really fantastic what you're doing.
Thanks, Alex. I think the great thing about the people that we've partnered with in America is PAFID have been outstanding, and they've certainly put their money where their mouth is. They've brought their CEO out to Australia. They've come to the student conference. They've met the students. They've run interviews, and they've taken paramedics over to the US. And we currently have Aussies working for PAFID. And then we've partnered with Danny, who we've spoken to as well. And Danny won the GEMS Games in America, which is their main competition. It's their Ferno Sim competition over there. And the prize she won was to come out to Australia. So she's been here. She's dived the Great Barrier Reef. She's been on ride-along. She's seen our systems. And she's very, very well connected, as is PAFID in the US. So ideally what they're looking at is how can we streamline this process? So the visa process, the conditions that the paramedics will come over on in terms of the job conditions, but also it's very hard to immigrate to another country. So they're taking care of things like your flights. They're taking care of things like helping you to get a car and helping you to get a bank account and all of the little things which we don't normally think about when you just go for a job in Australia. It's a whole life change and a whole life adventure, which can be really daunting and stressful. So it's about making it easier for everyone. And then, you know, we have no doubt that we're not ever going to drain Australia that much, that there won't be any paramedics left to work in Australia. I don't think we're going to have that problem. But how cool, like yourself, going over to the UK, that these paramedics are graduating. One, they're getting jobs. They're going overseas, getting world experience. And then at the end of that, they return home and they bring back that experience and that knowledge to Australia for the benefit of Australians. It's like it's a win-win for everyone.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think you're right. It's better than, I guess, waiting for years on end trying to get a job in something that you've spent good money on to study and time and effort and everything into doing, you know, such a, you know, it's a lengthy degree and including all that placement, you know, it takes a lot of time and effort. So to just not be able to utilize it for quite some time can be really stressful. So I think, yeah, this is great. Now, you did do an interview with Danny. Do you want to go into a little bit about that and we can play it and then basically go into what this recruitment looks like and how the process works?
Absolutely. So Danny is a critical care paramedic and a critical care nurse, and she literally has been there and done that. So I got her to give a little rundown of her background, and she's been in the industry for 30 years. And when I say she's done it all, she's been a flight paramedic, she's been an international fixed wing aeromedical retrieval paramedic, critical care road paramedic on the 911 ambulance system there. She was also the medical advisor to the recent ambulance movie where they took a Falk ambulance and drove like crazy around San Diego and LA and blew things up. Typical American movie situation. So, but Danny has literally been there and done that. And she has partnered with a senior military officer who's a chief operations officer, Joe. And he's going to handle all the logistics and all the legal side of things. So when we partner with someone, we want someone who is a paramedic like us. We want someone who's been there and done that and knows the American system well and knows the Australian system well. And then we know the Australian system very well and we know the American system. So it's a really good marriage between the two, but certainly they have the network over there to get your portfolio in front of multiple employers around the US and give advice on different geographical locations. You just think of Queensland alone, the difference between living in Mount Isa, Cairns, Townsville, or Brisbane is so stark and so different, all in the same state. If you're going to move halfway across the world, you want to make sure that if you're a city slicker, you don't want to end up in Alice Springs. You want to end up in you know, downtown LA where, excuse my language, but shit's getting real. And if you're someone who's looking for a quieter lifestyle, then you certainly want to go to a more remote place. So they can give you advice and everything on that. But the application now is really, really straightforward. So we're looking to be the recruitment conduit here in Australia. And to that end, we've built into our website a platform whereby everyone can upload their documents. So the current situation in Australia, if you want to go work for Queensland Ambulance, you put in an application and you send them all your documents and your police clearance and your traffic history and your degree and your ARPA and all the things. And then you want to go to New South Wales and you apply with them, same thing, and the next one, same thing. So what we're doing is we've gone with Danny and Pafford, and we've asked them, what is everything that you're going to require no matter who you work for in the US? And they gave us a list of things. So we've put that into our website. Now, we do charge a $500 application fee, and there's two reasons for that. One, we need to cover our costs because this is a side hustle that we do, and we're not making money. It certainly doesn't pay a salary. We're not here to fleece graduates and make money off them, but we do want to cover our costs. Secondly, we want serious applicants only. We're not interested in people throwing their hat in the ring, sending their resume in because it's not going to cost them anything. And then the Americans kick off and Danny gets your resume in front of all these people and you get all these offers and you go, no, I actually don't want to go, thanks. The Americans are investing on average $26,500 per person to go over there, flights, some accommodation, your training. And in one of the colleges that we're looking at, they're going to convert your degree to an associate degree in the US through recognition of prior learning and then upskilling. And I'll get to that in a sec. So that's why we charge some money down this end. We make no money out of the US employers. We're not here, like I said, we're here to live up to our promise to make things good for graduate paramedics to get jobs internationally. And so that's why that fee applies. Once that fee is paid on our website, you then go on and it gives you the option to upload everything. And things like your police clearance, we tell you which police clearance you need, and then you go and apply. Once all of your documents are uploaded, it then sends me a notification and Danny in the US, and she accesses all your information there. So it's immediate that you're, once you hit that button, you're in the pool and off you go. Danny then presents that information to all of the companies that she's partnered with over there. And believe me, there are many. There's over 5,000 EMS providers in the US. There's some massive companies and then there's some mom and pop companies. So I'll get to that in a minute because we're not going to be dealing with the mom and pops. We very seriously spoke with Danny and said, look, these Aussies are coming a long way. These are the conditions we have in Australia. These are roughly the conditions we want in the US. And some, you know, they've got some conditions that are better and some that are worse. But if you consider that your alternative is flipping burgers, you know, getting a nice job with a reputable company over there, earning a decent wage, is phenomenal. And so, yeah, Danny presents that to all these employers and then she'll get back to you. And instead of going and waiting for that email from insert state ambulance service here that says, thank you, you've progressed to the next stage. We imagine that you're going to get flooded with a whole lot of employment offers. And then Danny will contact you. You can talk through that. So, you know, you may get, say, 5 employment offers, and then you can choose. And you go, I don't even know where Idaho is. Danny, can you help me? And she'll talk you through it. And she'll tell you, you know, and discuss your needs and your what you're looking for. And then team you up with the right company. From there, Danny's also gone ahead and partnered with a university in San Diego, and Pathford also have their own college that they're working through. And you start an online process covering off on the EMT course, because in America, you've got the National Registry of Emergency Medical Technicians. So you'll do your online training for the EMT program in Australia whilst we get your visa and everything sorted out. Then when you go across to America, you're going to spend about two and a half months at the university or the college, and there they're going to upskill you in everything, because you're not going to go work there as an EMT. You're going to go work there as a paramedic. And their paramedic is the equivalent of our CCP level. So it's going to be one hell of a learning curve. So you're going to go from a graduate paramedic to intubation, EZIO, in some cases surgical crack. And then there's also the American way of, They just have a totally different metric system and imperial system and everything different to us. They work, you know, patient weight and pounds and all that. So they're going to put you in with mentors and clinicians, and they're going to get you up to speed and coach you on how to answer their exams for the National Registry exam. You're going to then pass and do exceptionally well. And then from there, they're going to send you to your employer. And again, you're going to do a ride-along orientation. And part of that 2.5 months at the uni, hospital placements, ride-alongs on the American ambulances with clinicians that know the Aussie system, and they're going to be worded up, and we're going to go over there as well and spend some time with you. And yeah, from there you're going to be qualified and on your way and working. So for that, we're pretty fortunate, because the Kiwis are a bit sad at the moment. Kiwis are always sad when we go on our tours, because we everything Australia, Australia. And normally we have about 3 or 4 Kiwis from AUT that come on our tours, and they're the best. They've got such a good sense of humor. But Kiwis, I'm sorry, this visa application is not for you at the moment. So the E3 visa is a specific visa agreement between Australia and the US. And whilst it doesn't form part of the free trade agreement between the two countries, it was born about from that. And what it states is that any shortage of career grouping in America can apply for this visa. So the E3 visa is the equivalent of the Australian 457 visa. It's a work visa. And in order to qualify for this, you need four things. You need to be over the age of 21. You need to have a bachelor degree in the discipline that you're going to be working in. You need to be an Australian citizen, and you need to have a job offer from an American employer. So Danny will work that through with you. You'll attend an interview at the consulate offices here in Australia. And basically, they just want to check that you have a degree, you're over 21, you're an Aussie citizen, and you're going to go work, and there's your job offer. And they issue that visa, and then off you go. So that's a 2-year visa. The Americans would love you to stay for 2 years. However, it's able to be extended indefinitely at this stage. So that's really cool. If you really like the place and you want to stay, you can go there. And what's even more cool is, let's say you work for a company, as an example, well, let's go with PAFIC. You go over to PAFIC and you go, all right, I'd like to go work in Arkansas, which I only learned recently is not Arkansas, it's Arkansas is the pronunciation. But you decide, no, I actually want to go and work in the British Virgin Islands. After a year, they'll consider moving, and then you can go work somewhere else in the US, which is really cool, I thought. So you're not stuck in one place. You're not stuck. You can, you know, they're so accommodating and they're so in need of Aussies that they're willing to go this extra mile for us. And I think it's amazing. So this is a great opportunity for us. And now we just need to get people that want to go there.
Yeah, that's absolutely fantastic. And I think there's lots to unpack there, and particularly because I've done, you know, the opposite, going to the UK, there's lots of questions that I have from that perspective of moving. Do you know how in Australia, you know, you do your graduate program, and whether that be 6 months, 12 months, or whatever it may be, depending on the state, is there an equivalent supported sort of program there? Do you work with, you know, a paramedic on the same truck, or are you working with an EMT? How does that work?
Yeah, absolutely. So initially, in the first instance, when you go to the university and they're doing all your upskilling and everything like that, they recognize that you are a highly educated person. So what we've done in the back end is we've worked with them with a curriculum. For each university in Australia, we've sent them the curriculum, and they've just gone and cross-referenced everything to make sure that they are not missing anything in terms of upskilling you and training you. So part of your university program that you're going to do, when you do your ride-alongs, they're going to put you with specific paramedics that are clinical educators, and they're going to work with you to make sure that you are up to speed and that you understand their system very, very well. Then from there, once you leave the university, which you'll be leaving with a paramedic, they don't call it registration, they call it a licensure. So once you're a licensed paramedic on the national registry, you then go through to your employer where you're going to get your state license. Now, the Californians like to brag because they reckon their license gets you to work anywhere in the country, whereas some states, their license requirements are a lot less. So you're going to get the highest level of education that you can to get you across to go working in another state. But once you get to your employer, we've negotiated that you will spend a fair bit of time on an induction program there. Now, it won't be 6 months, but it'll certainly be a couple of weeks from what we've been told already, where you will work alongside a paramedic, not an EMT, not a student, but you'll work alongside a paramedic because you need to learn their particular state and local drug protocols, which may be different to what you learned in California, which are going to be different to what you learned in your Aussie home state, which, as you know from experience, can be quite difficult. So they want to make sure that you're, two things, they want to make sure that you're safe and you're not going to harm anybody. And two, they wanted to make sure that you're comfortable and that you feel confident. And I certainly know in the case with Patrick, with the first paramedics that went over there, they spent a significant amount of time getting them up to speed, more than normal. Obviously, the process is now streamlined. They've, you know, they know what hurdles to navigate around. And yeah, so to answer your question, absolutely, there'll be time when you will be mentored and shown what to do. And then if you're not confident and you're not sure, you just let them know, and then they accommodate you from there. They are honestly the most accommodating group of people I've ever met.
That's really reassuring because it is a big move. And I love how, you know, you've put together this, you know, conversation and interview with Danny. Would you like me to play that now and we can sort of see what comes from that conversation?
Sure, let's go for it.
My name is Danny Wirtz. I've been in EMS for over 30 years. I've worked in many different capacities. In the United States, we call it a basic EMT, and then you graduate up to going back to school for some time to become a paramedic. I've worked as a paramedic for many years, doing various different components of EMS in the United States, working on the ground, helicopter, fixed wing. I've done high angle cliff rescue. I was on a cliff rescue team for 9 years, doing confined space, building collapse. Worked doing international fixed wing transport, repatriation from other countries. So I've done a lot of international work, and then obviously worked on the ambulance in what is our 911 system here, our emergency system. And I've worked in various administration levels in education and upper level management, working on contracts and leadership roles in the EMS sector. Yes, yes. So I have also worked as a nurse for many years, all in the critical care setting, ER, ICU, and a lot of flight work. International Medic Solutions, IMS, was born out of the realization that we have a large problem in the United States. We have a huge staffing crisis for paramedics in the United States. And I have some decades of experience in relationships with fellow EMS folks in Australia, and have been to Australia, competed in an international competition in Australia, and got to know some fantastic people there. And over the years, we've kept in contact. I've been working with the guys of Australia EMS for many years and bringing their student tours to the United States to take a look at our system and see all the various things that you can do in the United States at EMS and in fire. And so we've developed this relationship over many years, and in discussions, realizing that they have an overabundance of paramedics in Australia, and we have a severe shortage of paramedics in the US, it's just a natural marriage to bring the two together. Why Australia paramedics specifically? So, I'll give you a little history. Back in 2007, I was thrown into the GEMS Games in the United States, wound up winning the US competition. And unbeknownst to me at the time, the winning team was being sent to Australia on an all-expense-paid trip to compete in the Asia-Pacific International competition. And when we won, that's when I found out about it, that we're going to Australia, and kind of a dream come true. So we got there, we competed against several different countries, and lo and behold, we wound up winning again. And in doing that, we had the opportunity to learn about the Australian system. We did ride-alongs, we looked at the university, and went to hospitals, got to see what their system looks like and meet people and understand their scope of practice and develop those relationships. And over time, again, we continued to keep in touch. And as that group came to the United States to do tours, that relationship continued to just flourish. What we're going to do is we're working with a local university to bridge that education gap, looking very closely at what the curriculum is in Australia, comparing it to the US curriculum, and then building a bridge course that allows them to rapidly come over, take that abundance of knowledge that they have, and then just fill in the gaps of some of the scope of practice that we have and some of the techniques that we use here. And of course, educating them on the differences in the medications. You know, we work in milligrams versus mics and pounds versus kilos, and just helping them to bridge so that when they get here, they're comfortable. And then once they're here and we align them with the right company, and they'll have an opportunity of different companies to choose from and different geographic locations, they'll be able to look at packages to see which is the best fit for them for the duration of their stay. Ideally, minimum 2 years. The E3 visa is a 2-year visa with the ability to extend. And I believe it's unlimited extensions right now, unless something changes. So there is an opportunity to stay for longer. We hope there would be at least a minimum of 2 years, because the transition period takes a little while. And then be able to see different areas of the United States. We'll be looking at contracts in coastal areas, rural areas, desert, mountains. So there's a lot of geographical opportunity in areas which to work, which will cater to different types of scope of practice. In the United States, depending on where you work and under different medical direction, your scope can vary dramatically from place to place. So there's a lot of really great opportunity for them to take back with them when they return home. As for the E3 visa, those have to be degreed paramedics. So they will naturally come in at the higher pay scale. And each department will probably start them at a different level. Some will give you additional pay for years of experience. Some start all brand new paramedics out at the same level. So that pay will vary place to place. But you'll know that before you come and before you agree to work for a specific employer. As far as conditions, that again will vary from place to place. We're going to make sure that you're placed with a reputable, strong provider that we have vetted and we have checked to make sure that the conditions are going to be something that you want, whether it's, again, rural or urban, Some areas are going to be a little bit rougher than other areas. So you're going to get to pick, and we'll help you. The good thing with IMS is we understand the systems here and we know what those locations are like. So we'll help you through that process to decide where you want to live and what's the best fit for you with what your needs are. Maybe you want to go where there's a lot of action. Maybe you want to go where it's rural and quiet. And so the pay scale and the conditions will vary between the two. You'll have some extreme weather, some very mild weather. So that'll be a decision that we'll work with you to make. So even though there are different fire departments that may have ambulance service that works within the fire department, if you're looking to come to the United States to go be a firefighter, I would encourage you to work for an ambulance provider first to get your experience, and then you would test for a fire department once you're within the United States. We won't be able to place you because they don't have a shortage for firefighters. We have a shortage for what we call single role paramedics that are working just on the ambulance. Typically with the fire departments, there's a lot of people, there's a lot of folks that want to become firefighters. So when they have open application processes, typically they will receive an overabundance of applicants for very few positions. I've seen upwards of 3,000 applicants for 25 positions. So the ambulance service specifically, you won't see that as often. So that's what makes it a little bit easier to commit to.
Don't you just love her accent? It's great to listen to Americans talking for long.
I feel like we've got the array of accents in this podcast episode, which is awesome.
We totally do. Yeah.
We just need a UK accent now. I can't provide that yet.
You've got to work on it. You're getting there.
No, that was really interesting. And I love how it provides a really clear overview of this new system. And I think it's really fantastic what you guys are doing and being like, you know, here you put all your information on one site, it goes out to everyone, you get those job offers, and it seems very supportive from the perspective of having someone there who is able to help you figure out what the best fit is for you, which I think is really important, particularly when moving completely your whole life over to another country. So that seems really, really comprehensive.
Yeah, look, having immigrated myself from South Africa a good 15 odd years ago, I know firsthand what it's like, and I realize how difficult it can be, and then how to overcome those challenges. And some simple things that we've spoken to Danny about is, you know, when someone graduates, and, you know, let's say we take someone who's in their grad year across to the US, they won't have any line of credit whatsoever. So it'd be quite difficult to purchase a car, to get a phone plan, to rent a house. So she's negotiating with the various companies over there. And PAFID have done this as well on their end. So they've organized housing for when you first get there. They will help you with a lease car. They will stand guarantor for certain things or be able to help you get things. So it's literally about making it as easy as possible for people that are keen to go and have an adventure. So, yeah, and then the other opportunities as well, like you have in the UK, like we have in New Zealand, it's about making those as accessible to the graduates as we can. A common question we get asked, is this only for student graduates? No, absolutely not. If a 20-year veteran of Australian paramedicine wants to go, they will welcome you with open arms. They're so short in some of their cities and some of their states that they're unable to fulfill their 911 contracts, which means that community goes without an ambulance altogether. So you can just imagine that you have a heart attack in your community and an ambulance is going to come from 50, 60 kilometers away at best because there's just no one there. So it will really be helping the Americans if we can get someone there, which is why the companies are prepared to spend upwards of $25,000-$26,000 to get you over there. And the cool thing is it costs you your $500 application fee. It costs you nothing else. They fly you there, they house you, they subsidize you, they educate you, and then they pay you and you get your job from there. I mean, you know, I guess like you'll find traveling, you know, if you wanted to travel around Europe, travel within the US is quite cheap. So if you wanted to go to another state and go on holiday and everything, then you can. And yeah, like I say, the Americans have just been amazing so far. So you can apply via our website, australiaems.com.au. And certainly if you have any questions whatsoever, contact us via the website and we'll answer you back. That said, I have about 20 people to answer back tonight. We've had a flurry of questions and really good questions. And then what we do is if we get some perlas and we'll put that on the website so people can read ahead of time. So yeah, it's a really exciting time to be a paramedic, and I hope that it does in some part solve the situation for both Australia and the US. My only worry now is that the universities go, well, there's the greater demand, let's make a bigger supply. So I hope they don't, and I don't think they will, but let's just see what happens and see what solutions we can come up with. And then hopefully soon, like yourself, we'll have some paramedics over in the US telling us what a great adventure they've had.
Absolutely. And I think even, you know, if students who are listening to this who are in their first, second year or even third year and have thought about this but are unsure if they want to, you know, take on that adventure, I think getting in touch with you guys, having a chat, and just asking all the questions you can, leaving no stone unturned sort of thing, and then equally going on your fantastic, you know, tours to see if it's something that really lights the fire inside of you. I think it's a really cool opportunity that you have both the tours and kind of get an insight into if that's something you'd really love to do.
Yeah, look, the tours are definitely very, very popular. Sadly, we've got to turn people away on most tours because, you know, we do this as a side hobby and we can only take so many. But this year, the tour coming up is in January. Normally it's in July, but we're trying to work around the university holidays, and a lot of the universities are putting in placement in the holiday times now. So it's just about working with the students. And I love going to Vegas in the summer. It's like 45 degrees. You open your hotel room door and that heat hits you like a steam train, but it's just such a cool city. And San Diego is just amazing. I love it. I'm not such a big fan of LA, but certainly they get to come and experience those things. And so far, touch wood, other than this last tour that we've just done, because a lot of them are still students, and every single other tour beforehand, we've got 100% conversion rate to those students getting jobs. So that's what it's all about at the end of the day. And what we say to them is the degree is no longer special. It's not your point of difference because everyone has one. It's great that you have a degree. Like it's phenomenal. Australia has one of, if not the best, paramedic education system I've ever seen. And as a South African, it takes a lot for me to say that. I don't like admitting that someone's better than what I've been trained in, but certainly the Australian system is amazing. And the education that you guys come out with is fantastic. But when everyone has that, you're no longer special. So you've got to find out what your point of difference is, what makes you more employable than the person next to you. And so not just punting our tours, because I know a lot of the universities do development tours as well. Anything that you can lay your hands on that gives you a point of difference from the bloke next to you with a degree, grab it. Absolutely grab it. So we do welcome people on our tours, but I'd certainly say if anyone's doing a tour to anywhere in the world, we have the opportunity to go and learn and the opportunity to excel. And then, of course, they have an absolute blast. Like these guys have already done two reunions since July. It's October, and they're already meeting up in New Zealand, and they're meeting up here, there, and everywhere. So it's a lot of fun, and they do make lifelong friends from this, and they learn a lot. And, yeah, like I say, some of them go back to America for weddings and all sorts of things. So it's really, really good. But, you know, Alex, I appreciate you chatting to us about this. And if anyone does have any further questions, as I said, they can get us via our website, and we will endeavour to answer you back within 24 hours.
That's absolutely amazing. Thank you. I really appreciate you coming on. And, you know, if anyone has any more, you know, wanting to find out any more information about it, like I said, contact you guys. But also we've done a previous episode about it where you go into, like, how the ambulance service works in the US and everything like that. So there's multiple episodes on this. And, yeah, definitely get into contact. I think it's a fantastic opportunity. So thank you so much for going through all of this with us today. It's fantastic.
Thanks, Alex.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Student Paramedic Podcast. You can connect with us on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, or you can email us at thestudentparamedicpodcast@gmail.com.